Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh, and in this audio we will discuss Judith Butler. Now, Judith Butler is an American academic whose theories of the performative nature of gender and sex were influential within Franco-centric philosophy, cultural theory, queer theory, and some schools of philosophical feminism from the late 20th century. And Judith Butler is best known for two works. One is Gender Trouble, Feminism and the Subversion of Identity, which came out in 1990. And after that, Bodies That Matter on the Discursive Limits of Sex. Okay, Bodies That Matter on the Discursive Limits of Sex, which came out in 1993. In which she challenges conventional notions of gender and tries to develop the theory of gender performativity. And this theory of performativity has had a major influence on feminist and queer scholarship. And these works are often studied and debated in film study courses, emphasizing gender studies and performativity in discourse. Now, a little bit about the life of Judith Butler. She was born in 1956 in the United States of America. Her father was a dentist and her mother was an advocate for fair housing. And after studying philosophy at Yale University, after doing her bachelor's, master's and finally PhD, she taught at university. And Butler's first book was titled Subjects of Desire, Hegelian Reflections in 20th Century France. Okay, Subjects of Desire, Hegelian Reflections in 20th Century France, which came out in 1987. And this is basically a revised version of her doctoral dissertation and was a discussion of the concept of desire as it figures in Hegel's Phenomenology of Spirit and its subsequent interpretations by various 20th century French philosophers. And as I pointed out earlier, that she's famous mostly for two works. One is Gender Trouble, Feminism and the Subversion of Identity, which came out in 1990, and its sequel, which is Bodies That Matter on the Discursive Limits of Sex. Okay, Bodies That Matter on the Discursive Limits of Sex, which came out in 1993. In these two works, Butler built upon the familiar cultural theoretic assumption that gender is socially constructed, the result of socialization broadly conceived, rather than innate, and that conventional notions of gender and sexuality serve to perpetuate the traditional domination of women by men and to justify the oppression of homosexuals and transgender persons. And one of her innovations was to suggest that gender is constituted by action and speech, by behavior in which gendered traits and dispositions are exhibited or acted out. In particular, gender is not an underlying essence or nature of which gendered behavior is the product. It is a series of acts whose constant repetition creates the illusion that an underlying nature exists. And gender, according to Butler, is performatively constituted by the very expressions that are said to be its results. And she stressed, however, that individuals do not exist prior to or independently of the genders they perform. Gender is always a doing, okay, always a doing, though not a doing by a subject who might be said to pre-exist the deed. Indeed, the doer is variably constructed in and through the deed. An individual identity, means the subject, is itself performatively constituted. And it follows that individuals do not choose their genders and cannot assume or discard or radically alter them at will, simply by behaving or not behaving in certain ways. And at the same time, small deviations from established patterns of gendered behavior are possible and indeed inevitable. And it is through such occasional variations that the socially constructed character of gender is revealed. And Butler contended somehow, you know, paradoxically, that not only gender, but sex itself, the fact of being biologically male or female, is to some degree a performative social construct. Okay, sex is performatively constructed in the sense that it represents an essentially arbitrary distinction between individuals that is drawn or at before birth and later reinforced through speech acts, such as originally it is a girl or it is a boy. In heterosexist cultures, the repeated performance of the distinction serves, among the other things, to impose a norm of sexual desire based on an artificial association between biological sex and gender, which is the law of heterosexual coherence, thereby sustaining a system of compulsory and naturalized heterosexuality, sometimes called heterosexual matrix. And Butler's Gender Trouble is one of the founding texts of queer theory, and her work continued to inform much debate within cultural theory, especially in the United States in the early 21st century. And in Gender Trouble, Butler questioned the validity of much feminist political theorizing by suggesting that the subject whose oppression those theories attempted to explain, means women, is an exclusionary construct that achieves stability and coherence only in the context of the heterosexual matrix. Her suspicion of the category led her to doubt the wisdom of conventional political activism aimed at protecting women's rights and interests, and she emphasized instead the subversive destabilization of women and other categories through consciously deviant gendered behavior that would expose the artificiality of conventional gender roles and the arbitrariness of traditional correspondences between gender, sex and sexuality. And the most overt examples of such, let's say, gender parody, okay, gender parody involves cross-dressing. And according to Butler, I quote, "Part of the pleasure, the giddiness of the drag performance is in the recognition of a radical contingency in the relation between sex and gender. In the place of the law of heterosexual coherence, we see sex and gender denaturalized by means of a performance, which avows their distinctness and dramatizes the cultural mechanism of their fabricated unity," unquote. So, from an exam point of view, you should remember the important works of Judith Butler, especially the works for which she is very famous. One is Gender Trouble. The second is the sequel to this work, which is called Bodies That Matter on the Discursive Limits of Sex. And the third thing which you should keep in mind is that she is the one who propounded the idea that gender is performatively constituted. Okay, the idea of performativity with respect to gender. But let me point out one thing, that the word performativity was not used by Butler for the first time. For the first time, it was used by John Austin. Okay, John Austin. And later on, Judith Butler adopted this term in the context of gender. So, according to John Austin, performativity is the power of language to effect change in the world. Language does not simply describe the world, but may instead or also function as a form of social action. And as I said, the concept of performative language was first described by philosopher John Austin. Later on, Judith Butler developed the concept of performativity to describe how gender is constructed. And Butler argued that gender is an ongoing and socially constructed process which proceeds through a continuous series of performative acts. Okay, which proceeds through a continuous series of performative acts. For example, the utterance, "It's a boy." You know, when a boy is born. Performativity then is the process of subject formation, which creates that which it purports to describe and occurs through linguistic means as well as via other social practices. So, while studying the concept of performativity as elaborated by Judith Butler, don't get confused. It is slightly tricky to grasp this concept, and try to listen to the audio once or twice and you will be able to understand.